Thank the Lord this morning for the love of God, and very thankful once again for all of you mothers. And I also just, I look at all these children and young people, and to me, it is really beautiful. And we are where we are as even those of us that are older because we had a mother that cared and loved and taught. My mother is not here today, but I've been reflecting this week on my mother, and we all owe a great gift, and a great thanks to our mothers. I want to thank again, not just the mothers, but all of the sisters this morning for the godly example that you set for us. We live in a world that is so full of immodesty and harsh spirits that it is a blessing to be around a people and around sisters in the Lord that still believe in modesty and an humble spirit and a godly lifestyle and godly living. And we want you to know we appreciate that very much, and we do not take it for granted. I know the enemy is vying hard, and he's working hard to try to draw people away from the Lord, and I'm thankful that there are sisters that are still willing to stand up and serve the Lord as He has asked us to serve Him. There is a very familiar passage of Scripture in Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 12. It asks a question. It said, who can find a virtuous woman? Almost as if it's a rarity. I mean, who can find? For her price is far above rubies. Have you all ever found a ruby? I haven't. And I think that's why he asked the question like he did, because it's not something you see every day. It is a rarity. And I will say this morning that a virtuous woman, and I will just add to that, that a godly, virtuous woman, her price is truly far above rubies. And We value so much godliness, and there are so many wonderful things this morning that a true godly mother gives to her family. And as I have been seeking the Lord this week for a message, and I knew it was Mother's Day, and there's a temptation to think that, you know, how much more can be said. But do you mothers, is it okay to hear the same thing? I mean, is it just once a year that you'd like to have someone say thank you? You know, we eat the same foods quite frequently. And I don't think we can say enough to our mothers and our wives for the thanks that we owe you for your love and your sacrifice and what you do. This morning, I wasn't quite sure how many children would be here, and I wasn't sure if we purchased enough roses. I wasn't quite sure. I thought we had enough, and we did. But Renee, my boys had sent their mother, she had more than one bouquet of roses that had been sent, and she said, you know what, why don't you take one of these bouquets, and if you run out, you can use some of those. And I said, well, I don't want to take your roses. She said, but you know what, just take them. So those were the ones sitting on the table because she said, you know what, she wants to give. And you know, that is so typical of a mother, isn't it? Isn't that so typical of our wives and mothers and grandmothers, that they're willing to give of themselves and what was theirs and valuable to them? I did tell her if I had to use any, I'd replace them. But anyway, I am very thankful because a godly woman, the price can't be put on it. So as I was seeking the Lord for a message, there was a word that kept percolating in my mind and in my heart, and the Lord began to talk to me about it, and it was the word consistency. One of the greatest gifts that my mother gave to me as a child was the gift of consistency. Consistency is the word really mean. I know there are people that are consistently bad or consistently ill-tempered, but the word consistency means marked by harmony, regularity or steady continuity, evenness, steadiness, stability, uniformity, equilibrium. And one of the other little terms that was put on that word consistency was harmony of conduct. And that was one of the greatest gifts that as I was thinking about my mother, I thought my mother gave me consistency. There was a harmony of conduct. And I want to thank the sisters and the mothers this morning, but I also want to encourage you. And I want to challenge you. And it's not just for the sisters, because even though that's a little bit of our focus this morning, I have personally been challenged in my own life as the Lord talked to me about consistency. Do you remember who it was that helped bring about the first miracle that Jesus ever worked? Do you remember who it was that kind of stimulated that miracle? Who was it? It was his mother. When there was a need, it was like, well, go talk to Jesus. And you say, well, why? Because had he worked miracles before that we didn't know about? Somehow Mary, his mother, knew that he had the ability to do something. And we follow his mother throughout history, and we find that when Jesus on the cross, remember who else was there? His mother was there, wasn't she? During the difficult times, there was a consistency because Jesus' mother was there. And that is one of the gifts that many mothers in our world are not offering to their children because they're absent mothers. They're gone. They're doing their own thing. They're following their own purposes. But it is a great blessing this morning to have the consistent presence of a mother in the lives of her children. Consistency is one of the most important and essential concepts to effective parenting. Because consistency is what provides routine. Consistency is what provides boundaries and limits. You know, I'm thankful to have a mother that set limits. In other words, we knew as children that this is what's expected, and if you don't do that, these are the consequences. It is poor parenting to give restrictions to your children and then not enforce the restrictions because it's inconsistent. And so then the children start thinking, what mood is mom or dad in today? What mood are they in, or what do you think they're gonna say today? I knew what my mom and dad were going to say. If I passed the point, did something that was wrong, I knew I was gonna get in trouble. I was gonna be disciplined. That consistency in parenting brings stability to children. It brings stability to teenagers. It brings stability to very young children. And you know, there's something about young children. Others may look on the real little ones and say, oh, aren't they so cute? Do you know a parent that is consistent will start teaching and training their children when they can, before they can even walk? Because you can see a child know when you told them not to do something. I've watched it. Our children did it. Before they can even walk, you tell them no, and they kind of look at you and put their hand out there to touch something. You say no. And they pull it back. They know they're not supposed to do it. And then they start to reach out, seeing how far can I push it? Do you know that taking advantage of those opportunities to teach our children brings about stability in their life? And you say, oh, look at Johnny. He's so cute. Look how he's reaching out and look what he's doing. It's really not real cute. But it is true, a true mother and a true father that will be consistent, that if I said no, I mean no. And that brings stability to children then, because they know mom and dad mean what they said. It's not an issue that, well, one day I'll get away with it, and maybe the next day I'll get in trouble for it. But it brings about stability to the home. So I am thankful for consistency this morning. We're going to just touch on a few things, and if the Lord leads, we may revisit some of these issues in parenting. But the scripture speaks about love in 1 Corinthians 13, and it said that charity never faileth. It said, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But it is love that never faileth. And it is a blessing to be in a home where there is consistent love. You know, life brings so many changes, but when you can count on someone's love, it brings stability. And you know, there's something about a mother's love that nothing else replaces. It's a mother's love that takes a sloppy picture that a child has drawn and puts it up on the fridge and says it's the most beautiful thing that was ever drawn. It's that mother that listens to a piece being played on the piano or guitar that's full of air, and it is just the most miraculous thing that was ever done. That was a mother's love who believes in her children. And it is also, and I wouldn't want it to be any different than that. It is a mother's love that when others have given up on someone, it is those, as the song said, it is the tears of the mother and the father. But it is that consistent belief that God can bring about a change. And when others look on situations and say, they're gone, hope is gone, they're not going to change, it is the consistent love of a mother that is reaching out to God that has brought many a child back home. Thank God for consistent love. That we don't have to wonder, if I mess up and I do something wrong, does mom still love me? Does dad still love me? Do you know a mother and a father's true love is not dependent upon how good you are? But it is because you are who you are. And it is the same way with God. God loves all of us this morning. And if you are in a place, in a state of disobedience, you are not able to receive of God's love like you could. But know this, God still loves you. And it is that love that is drawing us to come back home that we can enjoy the home that God has provided for us. It is consistency of love, not only in the words, I love you. And have you all noticed that when you go to pick out a card, how many cards say, I know, I don't tell you? That's kind of shameful, isn't it? Do you know that our children need to hear those words, I love you? And you say, well, they know I love them. Show them by your actions. Show them by your deeds most of all. But those words are also important. And I will say, and I'll speak personally again, I'm thankful to have grown up in a home where there was a consistent showing of true love. Consistent, regular, uniform, harmony of conduct. My mother was someone that my brother and sister and I never had to look at each other behind her back and say, what mood is mom in today? Do you know, because there was a consistency in her spirit? And do you know that brings about such a great stability in the home where there's consistency of spirit? One day, I told Renee, I said, I was just, as I was meditating on this, and I had seen some young women in a store, and they looked pleasant, and the thought crossed my mind. I thought, how do they act when they get upset? When the frustrations of life come, how do they look then? You know, someone can have a smile on their face. Do you know, I grew up in a home where there was a consistency of a godly spirit in my mother. Isn't that a blessing? That it's not about, well, mom's in a cranky mood today. If you were going to ask her something, you better wait till tomorrow. Maybe she's in a better mood. There was a consistency because she had contact with God. She was in consistent contact with God, and it leveled out the ups and downs that emotions bring. It didn't mean my mom didn't ever have frustrations, but it meant through those things, there was a levelness in the home. And I can say my dad didn't have to worry about coming in and finding a woman in the house that was there to cause trouble, because there was consistency. He knew he was going to come home and my mother would be there with a smile on her face. The house would be clean consistently. The house would be clean. It would be a haven for my father to come home to from out being out in the world, to come home to a woman that had kept herself, that had taken care of the home, that was there with an inviting presence to welcome her children and husband into. Do you know that brings about a stability to the home? I thank God for that kind of example, consistency regular. Consistency in spirit. This fruit of the Spirit, you know, is love and peace and joy and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. And I wonder this morning, Lord, challenge us. Are we consistent? Consistently bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Because when things are going good, it's easy to be pleasant, isn't it? When everything's going well and things are going along pretty good, it's easy to be pleasant. But the test is when the trials of life come. Are we just as consistent in showing love? Are we just as consistent as being patient? I probably, you know, most of us have probably had to apologize to our children before. If you haven't, you probably should have. Or maybe you ought to be up here instead of me. I have had to apologize to my children more than one time, Ethan. Have I done it more than once? That I recognize that, you know what, I was too impatient in dealing with a problem. I should have had more patience. I want my children to know that Dad is consistent. Consistent in gentleness. Consistent in joy. Consistent in meekness. Regular. You can count on it. And so that means if we fall short, because you know we're all still human. And that means that when that comes up, that we recognize, Lord, my desire, I want to have consistency. And so then we should humble ourselves one to another when we mess up. And you know that will keep us in a life of godly consistency when we're willing to acknowledge our failures as well. Acknowledgement of failures will stimulate spiritual growth. Scripture in Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 says, let your speech be always with what? Always with grace. Consistent. Harmony of conduct. Isn't it a blessing to be around someone that their speech is always with grace? That, you know, if you have to deal with a problem, they're not going to blow up at you. I saw a woman in a restaurant actually a few weeks ago. It was actually, I was over where Ethan was working, and I observed how she conducted herself with her husband and her children, and it was so shameful. She was so disrespectful in the way she spoke to her husband. She was not regarding him as any position to be respected. She was belittling him. The way she was dealing with the children, she was rude. She was being mean. You know, there's children, let me clarify something for you. Your mother disciplining you does not mean she's mean. And if it does, God, we thank God for mean mothers. Brother Austis used to read a poem about mean mothers on Mother's Day. When my children would come home, when they talked about having a mean teacher, it's like, I thank God for mean teachers because they're going to make you do what you're supposed to do. Well, I thank God for mean mothers, but you understand the difference. I'm not talking about this was someone that was being carnal. They were deriding their children. They were belittling in the way they spoke. Do you know, I do not remember one time. Not one time do I remember my mother belittling me. Not one time. She was consistent in love and support. But you know what? There's something else my mother did. My father, too. They were consistent in discipline. Consistent. I was taken out as a little boy. The pastor walked by and my father was in the car with me because I hadn't been behaving in service. And he walked by and he said, Brother Clifford, it was Brother Austis. He said, Brother Clifford, he said, I see you're having a little battle of the wills. There was a little battle of my will and my father's will. And my dad told Brother Austis, he said, yes, he said, we are, but he said, there's no doubt in my mind who's going to come out on top. And you know, I have to acknowledge, I tell him, Dad, I said, well, who did? My father did. But do you know, with my mother and father, I remember one time with my mother throwing a temper tantrum. One time. That I remember. Because I had seen someone do it and I thought I would try and see what happened. I had seen someone throw themselves down and I still remember today walking into the house, and something didn't go right, and I saw, well, I'm going to see what happens. I threw myself down on the floor and started kicking my legs. Last time I ever did it. Last time I found out what happened. But do you know what brought about that impression in my mind? It was because I had a mother that was consistent. You don't behave this way. It's not acceptable, and if you do that, these are the consequences, and I did it once. I thank God for a consistent mother who was willing to discipline me when she was tired. You know, sometimes as parents, it's easy just to kind of almost intentionally ignore something so you don't have to take care of it. But do you know that when we pay attention to our children and deal with it when they're young, it will many times, it will take care of problems down the road. Thank God for consistency. Consistency of speech. Consistency of encouraging. And I already spoke about that. A mother who is consistent in believing in her children. And when that we fail, it's the mother that's there. Get up. That was testified this morning by the children downstairs. Get up. You can do it. Keep trying. Don't give up. That's a mother. Consistently encouraging. There is a scripture, and we're not going to take the time because I want us just to get hold of this word and how it applies to our life. But over in the book of Timothy, Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he said, I remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in thee also. In other words, I see this faith that's in you. I know where it came from. It was in your mother, and it was in your grandmother. Do you know that happened by more than just one family worship? By going to service one time? That kind of faith came about by consistent teaching in the home. When we come to service and the Sunday school lesson goes forward and the preaching goes forward, it should not be something new to you young people and children. This should be something that should just be reinforcing what you are being taught in your family at home. Because that's the job of a parent, is to teach and to pray with. I know I mentioned this in a Mother's Day a few years ago, but I remember coming in so often as a little child, and my mom had these red bands across her forehead. You know what that was from? It was from kneeling down, and her head was pressed down, and it left those crinkles. It left the impression, and when I saw her, it's like, Mom's been praying. You know, that stands out to me still today. I'm challenged by it. Consistently seeking God. Mothers, how are you doing this morning? You got roses this morning. How are you doing? Fathers, grandparents, consistency in seeking God. Staying before the throne, providing that place of stability and consistency with our children. The scripture in Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Not empty threats, not changing the goalpost. It takes time to raise children, and I want to encourage, especially you younger parents here today, don't be weary or discouraged in being consistent with your children. There's going to come times, and again, we may come back to this later, not this morning, but there are going to be times in parenting that you feel like an abject failure. There's going to be times it feels like I've done the best I can, and it just seems like things aren't working. Don't give up. But I want you to remember, one of the best things you can give to your children is consistency. Consistently. And the Lord will fill in the gaps for you when you do that. He will lead you and He'll direct you. Over in Titus in the second chapter, there was instruction given to the sisters and to the mothers. And in verse 5 it says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you know it is a reproach on God's word when there are professing women of godliness who are not keepers at home, who are not obedient to their husbands, who are not chaste, that brings a reproach. But it is an honor, and that's one of the things that we really do celebrate and are thankful for today, that there are still women in our world and in our society who are valuing being a keeper at home. My mother, and I don't want you to get weary of my mother, okay? Because if you were up here, you could talk about your mother. Because you all are doing this too, okay? You all are doing this too. But I am so thankful. She was a keeper at home. She was talented. My mother was a very capable woman, intelligent. And my wife is too. And you know what they chose? They chose to be a keeper at home. I want to encourage you younger sisters this morning. Being a keeper at home does not make you any less capable or intelligent or able when you choose to place your husband and your children first above the pursuits of this world. This is why we rise up and call our mothers and wives blessed today, because they listened to the call of God. Keepers at home, that when we came home, that there was a consistency that mom's gonna be there. Mom's there. We weren't latchkey children. You've heard that term, latchkey children. They go to school and they come home, no one's in the house. Do you know that it is a blessing to have wives and mothers who are there, putting their family first, using their ability, their intelligence, their hard work to keep the home for their family? The house should be a refuge. The scripture in Proverbs 31 said that she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Do you know that being a keeper at home does not mean you don't do anything else? The scripture there talked about buying a field. Doing things with your family. If you're going to do things, you incorporate your family in it. I'm not leaving my family. But if we're going to go do something, then used to, especially in an agrarian society, they worked the field together. But they were together. And there is so much value in that togetherness, in that consistency and dependability. Scripture said obedient to their own husbands. Do you know? Consistent in obedience. I want to share something with you sisters this morning. Obedience is not doing things that your husband wants just when you agree with it. Because when you agree with something, why would you even call it obedience, right? With our children and on the workplace, with your boss, obedience is about when we do what they want because they want. Now there's something to be said again to the brothers, and that's a different message, about sacrificing for their wife and wanting to know what is your opinion. We want things, what do you want to do? But for this morning, I'd like to challenge the sisters to remember this. Obedience is not just about doing what your husband thinks is going to be best for the home. It's about doing it with the right spirit. Because there are many petulant wives and petulant mothers in our world today. And just like you see a petulant child. But true obedience is doing something with a true spirit of love and submission, because I honor and respect the position that my husband is in. Consistency in showing that kind of respect, folks, that it brings a stability to the home. And sisters, I will again speak very specifically to you today. There is something that will shut a man up. There's nothing that will shut a man up quicker or build up a wall than disrespect. When a man feels disrespected in the home, it will cause a barrier more. It doesn't matter what issues you're discussing. It doesn't matter what things you're trying to figure out. When there is disrespect, I know of no other thing to a man that causes a barrier to be put up than if his wife begins to show disrespect in how she speaks to him. So I want to encourage and challenge you wives, young and old alike, to be consistent in the respect, in the way that you talk to your husband. Hold him in high esteem. Regard him in the position that God has placed him in the home, and you will find that it will bring about a husband many times that it will, he will show more love. He will be, show more regard for, well, what do you think? And I want to please you because I'm respected. And a man who is secure in the respect of his wife is a man who can show greater love and be more vulnerable. Because see, this is about teamwork, but consistent in obedience and consistent in respect. And where there is inconsistency, whether it is in spirit or word or in how we respond, where there is inconsistency, it causes instability in the home. Because you, then someone is never quite sure what response they're going to get. But you know, the Lord wants it to be for all of us, children, young people, husbands, wives, grandparents, that we are living a consistent godly life, that we can know even if there's a problem, I know that they're going to show love. Even if there's a problem, I know there's going to be respect. Even if there's a problem and you got to talk about things that everybody's kind of uncomfortable about, I know that there's going to be a consistent motivation for the purpose of oneness and fellowship. You see how that brings stability? There's so much more that could be said, but Proverbs 31, verse 31 says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. I am very thankful for the consistency of godly mothers. I'd like to read what Adam Clark said about that last passage. It said, let what she has done be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let her bright example, and I just like to couch this with consistency, let her bright example be held forth in the most public places. Let it be set before the eyes of every female, particularly of every wife, and especially of every mother, and let them learn from this example what men have a right to expect from their wives, the mistresses of their families, and the mothers of their children. Amen. Again, we're very thankful for each of you sisters this morning, our wives, our mothers, grandmothers. And my prayer is that God would give you strength in your weakness, courage in your weariness, hope in your darkness, and grace in your trials, that the peace of God would rest upon you and that you would be refreshed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life today.